Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Todd. How are you today?
I'm good. So we are trying Facebook Live along with our regular recording. So we're going to see how this works today. It's either going to be a mess or it's going to work or somewhere in between. We'll see. So we're going to give it a shot. So today we're continuing our apartment series. I think we're on number 7, and we're going to be talking about the due diligence period. And we're assuming that last week when we wrote an offer, we got that thing accepted finally. And we are now in our due diligence phase. So we're going to begin talking about that.
Yeah. Great, Todd. And by the way, as we are live here, if anybody has comments, we will do our best to try to answer them, or if you have questions while we're live here. So,
okay. So John, do you have like control of that or access to it? Cause yeah. I can't monitor all these things. There's no way. I'm not tech savvy, man.
As long as it all works as I think it should.
Okay.
I should be able to see when people tune in and when they comment. So
cool.
Yeah. So due diligence. So yeah, we've put in our multiple different offers. We finally got one accepted. And then there's typically, first of all, how long is your typical due diligence period?
Yeah, you know, it's going to vary depending on the market and how you know, competitive it is. Obviously, if it's really competitive, you got a bunch of offers on the property, it's going to be a little bit shorter. But I would say 30 days or longer. I always strive for 45 days, maybe even longer if I can. But I just put an offer in, for instance, on a property, and there's going to be multiple offers on it that really strong value add. Anyway, so they responded back, and they said that was one of the things they said. The seller will take preference over offers that have a 30-day due diligence period or shorter. And then also part of your earnest money being hard right away. So usually, especially in like a more of a soft market, your earnest money doesn't become hard until after the due diligence period. In this case, they want at least some of it hard right up front. So you're looking at probably like, you know, 30 grand or so hard day one.
Wow.
And maybe even more. I mean, maybe 50 grand. Obviously, the more that becomes hard day one, the more attractive your offer is going to look.
Right. So when the due diligence period begins, what are some of the main documents that you're going to want to receive from the seller in order to make your ultimate decision about the property?
Yeah, good. So first of all, this should all be in your letter of intent that you originally asked for, and it should be all in your purchase agreement, right? Every single document that you're going to want. And then what I always do or try to do is push that this stuff doesn't start. My due diligence doesn't start until I get this stuff. So the seller has, you know, X amount of days, 15 days or whatever, to get me this stuff. And then my due diligence starts. You could also do, they get 5 days to give you this and the due diligence starts no matter what right away. But I always like to have the stuff in hand. So what are you looking for? You're looking for, you know, basically you're going on a treasure hunt, right? So you're trying to find all of the hidden gems that you might uncover. And then you're also going to find all the ugly, you know, blemishes and stuff. But you're going to want bank statements, really important. You're going to want the bank statements from the seller. I'd try to get at least 6 months of bank statements, or a year if you can. You're going to want to get all the leases, 100%, every single lease. You're going to want to get the profit and loss statement for the last 2 years. I would go back at least 2 years. You're going to want to get the current rent roll that's certified, that's signed by the seller saying this is accurate, or the management company. You're going to want to get utility statements. You're going to want to get, let's see, what else am I missing here? You're going to want to get, you know, it'd be nice if they've got a, if they do have a phase one report, you get that. If they have a survey, and they should, get that. Any service contracts, you know, you might have a pool there, or you might have laundry or cable or anything like that. So you want the service contract agreements. You want to get the security deposit account statement. So the security deposit should, if they're doing it right, go into a separate account, separate from the income, the rent. And so you want to get that statement. You also should get the, did I say utilities? I think I did say that utilities already. So the utilities. So I think that's pretty much covers everything. You know, this, I'll have a blog and that'll go on, you know, on LinkedIn, and we'll connect it to the show notes. So that'll probably cover everything just in case I did miss something.
Sure. So that is quite a few different documents that you're hopefully going to be receiving right away after you're in the contract.
Yeah.
And so I guess one question I have, what is the process that you take for reviewing all that? Do you have somebody like an accountant go through it with you? Do you have, you know, some other, an attorney look through stuff, or do you just kind of go based on your own experience and familiarity with the type of property?
Yeah, I mean, both, right? The more eyes you can get on it, the better. So if you have an accountant that can look at it, that's not gonna, you know, gouge you with the price. Of course, you want to make sure that you're spending the money properly, but you know, you want to get the more eyes, the better. So you should have your own third party property management company, likely, or if you're managing yourself, you should have, you know, people in your in-house that actually look at financials all day long, and they can go through and they can audit those financials. So not only you will have your eyes on it, if you have a business partner, your business partner will have their eyes on it. If you have a third party management company, they'll have their eyes on it. If you've got a lender and you're not buying it cash, they're going to have eyes on it. So you'll want to get all the eyes on it right up front from day one. Now, the nice thing about having all of those eyes on it versus paying like an accountant or paying somebody to do it is it's not going to cost you that much money. If they're your own employees, it might cost you a little bit, but most of the rest of the people aren't going to cost you any money. They're going to do it because they are expecting to get your business. So they're doing it for free. So it's going to, you know, you're doing this audit and you're understanding what you're underwriting and making sure your underwriting matches with what this audit shows you now. So,
right. And so that kind of answers some of my question, but I was going to say, you know, what types of things are you looking for? Maybe discrepancies from the
initial,
advertisements, or just confirmation of what you're expecting?
Yeah, both, John. I mean, you want to make sure what they told you is true, right? If they told you it's 95% occupied, you see, yeah, it's 95% occupied, but it's only 75% economic occupancy, meaning the tenants aren't really paying the rent. They're living there. They're just not paying rent. The rents aren't getting collected. So you want to be able to verify that. And you don't want to find that out day one when you take the property over. You want to find that out during the due diligence period. That way you can either cancel the agreement or you can try to make adjustments to still push the agreement through. But you want to know that. And by looking at their profit and loss, their rent roll, and then matching that up with their bank statements. That's why that's such an important factor, is the actual bank statements. Then you're able to verify that these things are true and accurate. Now, anybody could commit fraud, but that's a whole nother issue, obviously, that we have. So the more you can look at the stuff and dig into it, the more you can verify. And then you can also find, like, you know, maybe these utility bills are really, really high and they shouldn't be quite so high. Maybe you'll look at it and you go, geez, you know, this month and this month and this month, the water bill was only, you know, $5,000 a month. But then all of a sudden it starts going up consistently. And now the water bill is at $8,000 a month. You know, what's going on? So you can audit some of those things and you can find out, well, geez, you know, I underwrote at a utility bill or water bill of being, you know, $8,000 a month, but I really think we can get this back to $5,000 by fixing, you know, the leaks or whatever's going on. So you might be able to find good things in it as well. Things that are on your side.
Yeah. And do you often or ever run into property owners who just have none of the documents that you're looking for, disorganize themselves? Maybe that's why they're selling. And so, you know, you kind of have not all the information you really like in order to make a decision on the property.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, but here's the thing. It's going to be a lot tougher to get bank financing if the seller doesn't have any of their ducks in a row, because the bank is going to want to look at the stuff, especially when you're talking bigger properties. You're not going to get Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac if you don't have things, if you don't have leases, if you don't have bank statements, if you don't have profit and loss statements, if you don't have rent rolls. You're not going to get Fannie or Freddie for sure. You're not going to get that institutional type debt. You're going to get maybe a local bank or a bridge lender that can get you through to where finally you can clean up the books and make it look good. You got to be careful, right? Because if they don't have that stuff, do they really have it and they're just hiding it from you because it looks really bad? Or do they just not have it? So you better be buying that property for the right price. If you can't get certain things, they better have bank statements, right? If they don't have bank statements, then I don't think I would buy the property personally. I mean, how do you verify that money's coming in and you know, going out? If they don't have their tax statements, if they won't provide that to you, I mean, how do you verify? Your tax statement should show you a lot too. So that's another thing. I don't think I mentioned that, but that's another thing that you want to ask for is a tax statement.
Yeah. And even if the owner does have all that stuff, do you run into some that just feel like it's intruding on their privacy to release their tax statements or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say the majority of people, when you actually get it under contract, are okay with it. Where you get a lot of people that put the wall up is when you're trying to do your underwriting to make an offer. Then a lot of times you're going, no, I'm not giving you that kind of stuff, which, you know, quite frankly, you don't need that stuff. I mean, yeah, would it be helpful? Sure. but you don't need it. If they give you a profit and loss statement, you could just base it off of that if that's all they're willing to give you.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So that's quite a bit as far as kind of a desktop underwriting or due diligence.
Yeah.
Is there any other aspect of that first step?
Yeah, for sure. I would call the fire department, the police department. I would call the city and the county to be sure there's no code violations, zoning violations, rental issues, liens, anything like that. You know, police department will be able to tell you what the police activity is going on. The fire department will be able to tell you if there's been, you know, any violations, fire code violations. So those are, you know, good things. And then if you've got a, you know, obviously call the service, contract providers, talk to them about the property, any issues. If you've got the surveys and the phase one already by the seller, those are great things to review, making sure that there's no environmental issues and that the property doesn't have any encroachments or anything like that. So a lot of times those won't be done by the seller and you'll have to do it yourself.
Sure.
So
it sounds like quite a bit of work. How much time do you book for yourself to go through all of this?
It's a lot of work, and the answer to that is it depends. It depends on the property. It depends on the blemishes of, you know, in that property. It depends on how clean the books are. It's going to depend, but I mean, you probably want to count on, you know, I mean, thoroughly going through that, taking at least a full week, if not much longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, beyond that desktop due diligence, then we probably get into the physical inspections of the property, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you want to make sure that the physical property is what you thought it was as well.
Yeah,
for sure. So, you know, typically on your initial walk of a property, you maybe go into a handful of units. You know, it depends on how big the property is, depends on how much that seller and the broker want to get you in. Obviously the more units, the better, to an extent upon the initial. If it's a heavy renovation property, the more you can get into, the better. If it's a light renovation, then, you know, or no renovation, then, you know, seeing a couple of units is fine. But yeah, so now we want to get in and we want to walk every single unit, and I'm talking every unit. And some sellers will try to convince you not to see every unit. Some brokers maybe even try to convince you not to see every unit, but you want to go see every single unit, even if it's a 500 unit building. You know, you want to see everyone, or at least somebody you hired sees every single one, and make sure you understand what's going on in the property. Because what will happen is, if you don't go see those units, the units that you don't get shown are going to be the worst units. It's just how it's going to happen, right? If they're not going to let you into a unit, it's likely going to be the unit that has some skeletons in the closet, right? Some flood damage, or it's vacant, or, you know, it's whatever. Something's going on in that unit that they don't want you to see. So, look at every unit. And then the other thing is, you want to hire inspectors too. So professional inspectors, and you're going to want a property inspector, and they're going to go see maybe 10%, maybe 15% of all the units, but then they're going to actually do a thorough job on like the mechanicals, the common areas, the exterior condition. They're going to go up on the roof, or they're going to hire somebody, or you're going to hire somebody to go up on the roof. They're going to inspect the plumbing and all that kind of stuff. Who else? We want somebody to be able to inspect the sewer lines as well, to make sure that we don't have any problems there. Probably a pest inspector as well. Make sure we don't have any, you know, major issues, especially when we're down south a little bit, and you don't have to go very far. In Minnesota, we don't have termites, but not too far from here, there's termites, and termites can be a big deal.
Yeah, so definitely lots of inspections. What do you have any way to budget for that, or do you call a lot of different inspection companies to and choose, you know, the best one or the cheapest one or the most referred one?
Yeah, I would call the most referred one. I mean, I if they're going to walk, let's say 10 units, do the exterior, all that, you're probably talking at least between $1,000 and $1,500, potentially even more. So it depends on the size of your property, of course. A lot of the stuff you can get done for free or cheap. So a lot of roofing contractors will go over there and they'll give you a report for pretty cheap. Some of them will even do it for free. Sewer inspection, termite inspection, you know, you're talking $500 a piece, I suppose. And it, again, it depends on the size of the property and you know, the extent of it.
Within the complex, maybe how many sewer lines you're looking at?
Yeah. 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 I mean, if they find termites, they're going to want to go more in depth, right? So if they find termites on one building and you've got six buildings total, they're going to want to then go more in depth on all the buildings to make sure they, you know, they actually got it. So that might end up costing you more. So, and then you've got the phase one environmental. So the phase one environmental is going to tell us, is there any issues? Is there lead? Is there asbestos? You know, is there any environmental issues that are going to maybe be hazardous to the property and to your tenants? So that'll cost you, you know, it depends on the size of the property again, but let's say $5,000 for a 100-unit property. Then you've got the survey. That's going to be about the same thing, probably close to, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 for, you know, a 2-acre property. What else do we have? Trying to think if there's anybody else that you want in there. Your property manager likely will walk it for free. So they're not going to likely charge you, but you want your property management company to walk every single unit with you. It's nice to also to have the lender there. They probably won't walk every single unit, but they might walk a few units with you as well. So it's nice for them to be there during that due diligence walkthrough.
Sounds like a couple of lunch appointments.
Yeah, I mean, it could take a full day or two or three. You know, it depends on the size of the property. 100 units, I mean, it's going to take you a day to get through that whole thing. Yeah. So a couple hundred units is going to take you, you know, 2 days and maybe even more if the building's got a lot of issues.
Yeah. So while you're walking through, are you taking really detailed notes and pictures? Are you kind of just kind of getting a general overview of what's the situation there?
Yeah, personally, I take very detailed notes and take pictures if needed. And, you know, by unit, I'm going to have unit 2, unit 3, unit 4, unit 5, and I'm going to have my issues list. And I've got just a checklist of what we're looking at. So you've got, you know, your kitchen cabinets, your countertops, your appliances. You've got, you know, your flooring, kitchen flooring, then you've got your living room flooring, then you've got your living room, or you've got your blinds, then you've got your, you know, your paint, you've got your bedroom floors, you've got your door condition, you've got your, you know, so there's just a checklist that you can go through and, you know, you can mark them 1, 2, 3 or however, A, B, C, or however you want to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that makes it a lot easier than just writing a ton of notes. It just makes it easier to go, you know, this unit's an A unit. This unit's a D unit, or this unit's a total gut and, you know, down to the studs.
Yeah. Now, while you're walking through all these units, likely you're going to run into a few tenants, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So do you have kind of a system? Do you try to pry and ask some questions, or do you kind of leave them alone, or?
I don't probably talk to every tenant, but I do talk to the tenants. I do make sure I ask them, you know, how are things going? Oh yeah. Yeah. Things are good. Oh, you have any problems in here? Anything needs to be fixed? that type of stuff. And that way you can get a gauge. You know, a lot of them will say, oh yeah, yeah, this and this and this need to be fixed. Like the property I just bought, I had a lot of tenants that would say, oh my gosh, this and this and this need to be fixed. Oh, this hasn't been working for 6 months. And I've called the, you know, the owner, and they won't make the repairs and stuff like that. And so you get an idea of, okay, I got some issues going on here. These tenants aren't happy. You know, and so, and I knew that going into it. So it wasn't a big surprise for me, but, when it's a cleaner looking building, that's when I think it's even more important, because then all of a sudden you start asking questions and they start telling you this and this and this is broken and you didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. That's when it's a big issue.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I think that mostly covers the due diligence. Is there any other part that we didn't get to quite yet?
Well, I would just say there, you know, we want to cover some major things that people want to look at in the due diligence, because there's some important items that, you know, especially as a beginner, people don't think of, and especially even if you have bought buildings and maybe you haven't bought the certain era of building you're buying, you really want to look at the mechanicals a lot, because mechanicals are huge expenses. And the problem with mechanical expenses, or non-cosmetic expenses, I should say, is they don't add value to your building, or very little, right? They don't add, but a tenant's not going to pay more in rent because you fixed a crack in the foundation. It's not going to happen. So you want to look out for those items too. And so we want to look out for the plumbing. You know, what type of condition is? If you're buying a building with galvanized plumbing, galvanized piping, or cast iron waste, like, you just want to plan on replacing it all within 10 years. And I would budget 50% of that right up front, day one. Because it's going to happen. And I can promise you that anything that's galvanized right now in this day and age, it's been around for a long time. It's 50 plus years old, or 60 plus years old. It's on its last lifeline right now. So the second you touch it, it starts to crumble, and it's got to be replaced. Electrical. There's certain things with electrical that your insurance providers aren't going to insure you, or your lenders aren't going to lend to you. If you have fuses, or if you've got like an off-brand circuit breaker, Federal Pacific, for instance, that's in the, they've got breakers all over in Cincinnati, breaker panels, and insurance providers won't insure if you've got Federal Pacific, so you got to end up replacing it. Well, that's like, you know, $5 to $1,000 per breaker panel. Mm-hmm. That gets expensive. If you got a 100-unit building, that's a lot of money. You know, what type of wiring? Is it aluminum? If it's aluminum, you've got issues, right? If it's knob and tube, you've got issues. Are there GFCIs, which is the ground fault, the little push button things? Are there GFCIs in the kitchens and the baths? Are there smoke detectors? Are there CO detectors? And then you want to look at the roof. You want to look at the heating and cooling units. Most of those last 15 to 20 years. So much more than that, they're going to have to be replaced. You know, what's the condition of the exterior? What's the condition of the foundation? Are there cracks? Are there bulging? There's water coming in. What's the landscaping? Is it pitched into the building? Are there trees like all over the place or right next to the foundation? Stuff like that. So those are big things you want to look out for and kind of pay attention to and understand. These could be massive expenses that really, if I spend $500,000 on, the property's not worth really any more because it didn't raise rent. So,
sure. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that you have all these other eyes on the property, you know,
yeah,
the property inspector, you know, all these different people, because you may or may not be familiar with those different issues and whether or not it's a big issue or just a small issue. So those other people can help kind of advise you on that.
Yeah. And believe it or not, John, the seller sometimes will lie. I know it sounds crazy. And sometimes they'll even try to hide things from you. So it crazy as it sounds, some people are just not quite as honest as what you think they should be. And so the more eyes and ears that you're going to have looking at the financials, or looking at the building, and just being there, the better it's going to be. The more you're going to catch, and you're potentially not going to catch everything, especially if it's got warts all over it. But the more warts the thing has on it, the more kind of things that you're catching, the more I would be cautious about buying it, and the more I would put in my budget for all that kind of stuff. So if you're finding stuff left and right during your inspections and due diligence and stuff like that, you're going, geez, my inspection budget's at, or you know, my construction budget's at $1 million now. I would probably budget way more than $1 million. I would probably budget another 20% on top of that, you know, because you're going to catch more things as you start to open things up and go into units and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
Well, very good. So then, of course, once you've visited the property, you're going to want to go back and kind of review everything and prioritize your response to the seller.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was all as you expected, and you can just, you know, kind of release the due diligence inspection period and move on. But potentially, you might have to go back to them in some cases.
Yeah, you try not to, right? You try to be conservative from the start. So if you know the building's got a lot of work and a lot of warts on it, you want to budget for it and maybe even over budget for that. And so when you do come in and you find extra stuff, hopefully you're still fine, right? And because they call it retrading. Retrading is just kind of looked upon as a negative, and you don't want to get that name of you're always going to retrade, because I don't know. People don't want to deal with you if you do that all the time.
Yep.
So, I mean, sometimes it has to be done, right? But you don't want to get that name of doing it all the time.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Very good. Well, any other final thoughts on the due diligence?
No, that's really all I got. Okay. Just be diligent during due diligence.
Right. Well, I just want to speak to our viewers and listeners here. Anybody who's watching on Facebook or YouTube, we appreciate you tuning in. And be sure, if you have any questions on this topic or about just our series, our apartment series in general, send us a message through Facebook or comment on one of these episodes, and we'll be sure to get back to you. And then, of course, while you're there, give us a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever it is that you're listening. We appreciate your feedback and interaction with us there. So,
yeah, awesome. Yeah. And I'd love, you know, we'd love people to subscribe too, and, you know, share it out with anybody who you think might be interested, for sure.
Exactly.
Awesome. 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 That's about it, huh, John? We all wrapped?
Yep, that's a wrap.
Awesome. Well, let's make it a great day. And what do I say? Every day. Make every day a Saturday. All right, man. Take care.
All right, signing off.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.